Those of you who were not here with us, I believe the meetings were all taped, am I right? And they can be accessed, the audio files, I think, at the church website, churchinirvine.org or something like this. The speaking is surely in a way of a... it's a progressive speaking, and there is certain kind of a sequence to the speaking, so it would be good that if you can get something before this time, and so we can appreciate the whole burden of the Lord. Now, today it is quite clear that we cannot finish the rest of the 36 words. So we will restrict ourselves to only 12, which is group number 4. Group 4. We have these 72 words categorized into groups of 12, by groups of 12. And today we will only cover group 4. Then, as the brother announced earlier, that this Tuesday night we will come together to pray the church here in this hall at 7, so that at 7:30 we will continue with group 5, and group 6, we will see how the Lord will lead us to do. Well, the burden this weekend is, I would say, very heavy, but I'm also quite encouraged by the Lord that in the past few meetings, at least to my rather subjective sensation, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, that I felt at least, even though we're short in time, and a lot of these words really were not covered that adequately, truth be told, I would like to spend one meeting for one word. I really mean that. So that we would not be skipping on the surface. But it's time, brothers and sisters, for all of us, amen, for the whole church, to dive into the depths in our fellowship with the Lord. Amen. In fact, this is what precipitated the burden, a certain observation on my part, a certain kind of sensation that I receive, I believe, from the Lord, that there is a kind of general shortage, a lack in the private, personal, individual aspect of the saints' relationship and fellowship with the Lord. Relationship refers to something general, whereas fellowship, the way we're using it this weekend, refer to something specific. By specific, we actually mean those minutes and hours and seasons, specific time that the saints would spend in the presence of God, in before the face of Christ, to be alone with Him, alone with Him, face to face, to be with the Lord, to deal with the Lord, to transact with the Lord, to really, really assimilate the Lord, or this maybe too oft-used word but has become somewhat light, to really enjoy God. This, brothers and sisters, is the bedrock. This is the bedrock of everything. It is actually the bedrock of the church life. The church life is but a reflection of our personal life. The church life is a collection of our personal experiences of Christ. The church life is actually a composition, a combination of each of our individual walk with God. Can you believe that if I don't have this kind of relationship with the Lord, or it's very, very deficient, and Tom also has a very light touch with the Lord, and Mark here has hardly spends time with him, and Sydney there may be, you know, what I call the donut and coffee morning revival. And then we expect the church would be prevailing. The church would be just strong. The church will be rich and dynamic. I mean, logically, do you believe this? I don't think it's believable. It's not even logical. On the other hand, if each one of us has really, by the Lord's mercy, sinks into God, right? We have that kind of depth of experience with the Lord, much like our forefather Abraham did. The way he fellowshiped with God as the friend of God. You know, there's almost no one else. Well, maybe Moses to some degree. There's almost no one else who was consistently referred to as a friend of God like Abraham. Now, this is no ordinary buddy, right? No ordinary friendship. That word friendship implies too much. It is about like two persons that have become so close to one another. They actually know each other's secrets. They can read each other's minds. They share the same heart, the same heartbeat. One can finish the other's sentence. One can complete the other's thought. That's friendship. Can you believe there was actually a man like that with God? Can you believe it? God today is looking for this kind of a quote-quote friendship with us. Don't take that word in a light way, in a just a social way, you know, in this kind of a common way. Take this in the biblical way. Well, friends and sisters, our portion is to be in this friendship with God. That's our portion. It's been measured to us. But whether we would actually have it, whether we actually possess it, well, that depends. That depends. What does it depend on? It depends on your aspiration for such relationship. It depends on the exercise that you would have. It depends on the price you will pay to acquire this intimacy, this level of intimacy with God. It does not just come to us, you know, easily or quickly like that. Well, our burden is, it is time, brothers and sisters. I just feel I cannot speak about the whole recovery, although I have actually a similar sensation, but I can speak at least to the church in Irvine. I feel we are truly at a crisis moment. When I say crisis, I don't mean some, you know, bad thing is about to happen. I don't mean that, okay? But I do mean crisis. You have to realize spiritual progress is made up of, is composed of series of crises, spiritual crises. The more crises we have with God, the more we make headway spiritually. This is exactly how it works. When I say crisis, I mean that kind of crisis. That is that you have come to a point that you just somehow know that you are stuck. You cannot go on. And you have been like this perhaps for some months already, or maybe in some cases years already. You care for the Lord, obviously. You love the Lord for sure. Even you are for the church life and the recovery. But somehow within you, you just felt you have run into a wall. You know, in marathon today, they're running this OC marathon right down here, right? It's over already. They have these terminologies, marathoners, that they hit the wall. At mile 26 or 24, whatever, you know, they hit the wall. They hit that wall. That means they hit a crisis point in that race. Some, at that point, they just fall apart. They just give up, and they do not finish the race. Others, they hung on. They press forward. They endure the pain. Now, I'm talking of physical. These are all physical things. And somehow, they discover a second wind. And they proceed to finish the race. That's what I mean. Do you know that, brothers and sisters, that we face these walls in our spiritual lives? And unfortunately, some drop out. Some are not able to move forward to stage two as the Lord would have it. They just get stuck. And I have seen saints stuck. Some, tragically, for decades, at mile 13, mile whatever, wherever they were in. And they could not get through. And I actually see younger ones, those who have started the race later than them, run by them, spiritually, just cruise by them, and became more advanced spiritually than these ones. By age, physical, spiritual, and church age, they should be far ahead in that race. As patterns, as shepherds, as those who have reached certain depths of experience in Christ, in their daily walk, in their various spiritual dealings, in their maturity level, they should be here. But yet, you look at them, they almost act like a spiritual junior higher, a spiritual collegiate person. They're stuck somewhere in time. Well, I don't say this word to threaten us, to discourage us, but I must tell you, this is how the race is. This is how the spirit, and you all know the Christian life is altogether illustrated as a race by the Apostle Paul. If no one else, by the Apostle Paul, consistently in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning, proceeding to Philippians 3, and culminating in 2 Timothy chapter 4, right before his martyrdom. It was a race. And if you throw in Hebrews, if you believe he was the writer, in chapter 12, right? He saw the Christian life as a real marathon, not a 100-yard sprint, but a 26.2 miles marathon. I will tell you, actually, it's more than a marathon. It's one of those extreme ultra marathons that people run today, 100 miles. That's more like it. You know, I've been in the recovery now, you know. You know, actually, by now, I tell you, I have been saved exactly 50 years. Right now, 2011. I was saved in 1961, 50 years. Now, 50 years, it's half a century. And if I've been running in a half a century, you have to believe I should have run more than 26 miles. You know, I swim for my fitness exercise. And I'm not some strong, you know, great swimmer, but I just do my laps. And, you know, on a good day, I get almost to a mile, you know. Now, swimming a mile is different from running a mile. It's a little slower, you know. My point is this, that I started swimming, 20 years ago, 20-some years ago. And by now, I have accumulated quite a few miles, even slowly, you know, in by swimming. Dear brothers and sisters, I like to say a honest and genuine word to you. That we are, you may be facing a crisis. And this is a pleasant crisis, okay? This is a good crisis. This is a merciful crisis of the Lord. I feel corporately we're facing that crisis, surely with many of us individually. I will tell you, I am facing a crisis. I'm facing a crisis in a positive way. And this crisis we're facing here is exactly the burden for this weekend. And that is, we may be stuck at a certain depth or level insofar as our personal walk with the Lord, our personal times with the Lord, our personal fellowship or communion with God is concerned. That there is a voice there, like in the Song of Songs, "Come, my beloved, come away with me," when he was unable to. She was resistant. She was sleeping. She was not ready. Yet the beloved, her beloved, desperately want her to come away, to come further, to go on. The whole Song of Songs is a love journey, is a love marathon, if you read it, if you know it. And here, this beloved, which is a type of Christ, this Solomon, beckoning this Shulamite, this woman, this country girl, that was to be his counterpart, right? His duplication, right? To be his bride. To beckon her constantly to come to where he is. Come, come, my beloved. You know, even in the beginning of that book, right away it says, "Draw me," right? Draw me. That means what? And then it says, we will what? Run. Now, doesn't that smack of a race or a, you know what I mean? A kind of exercise to what? To pursue. Draw me, we will run after you. There is this very deep thought, intrinsic thought, that the whole love relationship is one of pursuit. But in this case, is not so much the man pursuing the woman. The man is attracting, charming, wooing, calling, beckoning. But the one who does the running is the female, is the woman. And that's us. And I just feel the crisis is perhaps right now God is calling all of us again. Amen. God is calling and beckoning his church again. Amen. Don't be contented where you are. Don't stay where you are. Come deeper with me. Come higher with me. Come further with me to where I am. For a deeper fellowship with me. A deeper communion with me, your beloved. I sense there is a call within. There is a singular call to each one of us, and there is a corporate call to the church. If we do not respond to this call, I will tell you, we will delay the Lord's work. We will delay His economy. God's precious economy, operationally speaking, or operatively speaking, begins at our personal times with Him.
Amen.
Not even in these meetings, but in our personal, private fellowship with Him. That's where it occurs. Now, today, we are moving on. The first meeting described for us, or defined for us, the characteristics of that relationship. The second meeting, we saw how we ready ourselves in coming to the Lord. You may say, even put it in simple words this weekend, these messages is about how to spend time with God. That simple. I'll make it that simple. How do you spend time with the Lord Jesus personally? So the second meeting, we saw how we approach Him, how we come to Him. You know, it is a very important thing. Here's a king. Here's an emperor. And I have been called to see Him, right? For a very, very important matter. In fact, He wants to see me because He wants to marry me. Right? It's like Prince William or whatever, right? I tell you, do you think I just roll out of bed in my pajamas and go see this king? Do you think so? Just forget about what we'll do. I'm just the coming, the approaching. Hardly, hardly. You better believe I will spend a whole week preparing myself just to see the king. Do you know, brothers and sisters, every morning, every time, you're about to spend time with the Lord, that you're coming to the king, that it matters how you approach Him? It matters how you approach Him. A lot of our time with God is not productive, is not rich, might have been due to a lack of preparedness, even in coming. Not even the time itself, but in coming. So we have 12 words in how to come. One word is called stop. I tell you, stopping is a great need in our coming. Yeah. Yeah. So the brothers have some feeling here, the leading brothers. Maybe we should take one word a week for the next 72 weeks. The whole church will get through this crisis together.
Amen.
I say it's not bad. Not bad. We will still keep our morning revival, you know, all of Holy Word. We won't change that. But along the line, we will spend 1 week to learn how to stop. You may say, come on. Those who have the experience will tell you, it's hard to stop. You'll find out how busy-minded you are. How difficult for you to calm yourself down in the Lord's presence, especially in this day and age of the internet. You can hardly stop. You may have to throw your BlackBerry outside the window to stop. And maybe even then you still cannot stop because it's ringing there. That ringing there is more important than God, than the king. Don't laugh. I am a patient just like you. Just like you. 10,000 things more important than God. And you wonder why we don't hear him. You wonder why that we are not growing. You wonder why our time with him is so impoverished and poor. You wonder why. Well, I must go on today. Today is a very important 12 words, group of words. We now come to that substance of this fellowship. Last night, the third meeting, we were on to the first sort of section, if you will, of that fellowship, which is simply our being in the Lord's presence. That really means before his face. Before his face. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about God, Jehovah's face, and our needing to seek it. Face means presence. So after you come approach, after you're ushered in to the king's chambers, Song of Songs, you are now in his presence. The first part of our time with the Lord, brothers and sisters, is how to be in his presence doing nothing. Doing nothing except beholding. Face to face, eye to eye, heart to heart, just abiding, dwelling, remaining, staying in his presence and not moving about. Now that takes time. That takes time. How many of us have the experience while we are doing this? Oops. What about that stew I'm cooking? While we're doing this, whoop, what about my boy in school? Oops. What about that deal in my business? Oops. I tell you, that's how we are. Of 10 minutes we are in the Lord's presence, probably about 1 minute is really gazing him. About 9 minutes, woo, woo, like this. Well, we're all like this. So my burden, my point about crisis, is it's time, brothers and sisters, you need to improve those minutes. Increase those minutes so that it will be other way. So every minute we are in the Lord's presence, basking in his presence, we are really there, gazing, looking, being transfused, being infused by him. Now let me tell you, just 10 minutes of such time is really what will change our lives. You can read 10 books. You may improve your apprehension of certain things, even biblical things. But that 10 books can never replace these 10 minutes of total transfusion and infusion of God. This is what I mean by our time with the Lord. Now, this morning, my particular burden, strong burden, has to do with the role, R-O-L-E, of the Word in this experience. My brothers and sisters, I will tell you, this gazing on the Lord's face is the first section. But as we experience that, we will be led into, if you will, the next section. And I don't mean this in a religious, rigid way, okay? I told you already last night, don't take these words as a checklist. It will kill you that way. Take these in a very flexible, living way in the Spirit, okay? But there are certain, you know, there's something about the way they're arranged that illustrate a kind of progress. And I told you, the whole move from the outer court, beginning at the bronze altar of the burnt offering to or through the laver of bronze laver of washing, and then through that screen into the holy place, firstly arriving at the showbread table of the table of his face or presence. Notice that, the face is the presence. And then moving down to the other side of the holy place where you come to the lampstand to trim those lamps, right, to add the oil, and from thence moving on to what? Actually into the, by experience, into the holiest place to be at the what? Expiatory cover, and that is the cover of the ark where you will meet with God. In the holiest place, having passed through the second veil. Not the screen, but the second veil. And from there, actually, you turn back and arrive at that incense altar where you burn incense in the form of prayer, offering Christ as the incense to God. This, what I just spoke in 2 minutes, is that journey, that spiritual journey into God, which we all need, and is what I'm talking about here, personally. Now, we are moving on. We have now come to a place where we must come to the Lord with His Word. Now, brothers and sisters, this must be the very top enjoyment of God. I have here a book I want to promote. We have still a few copies for sale, and some of you may have it. It's this book called Lord, Thou Saidst. I don't know whether it's in Chinese, I have no idea, but it's in English. It is not Brother Lee. This is a compilation by Brother Ray Graver, the brother who works very much at Building 8, who built many meeting halls. He compiled this, and this is published in 1981. He compiled this of many of the great names, the great servants of God, the renowned Christians over the past ages, in how they experience God, how they spend time with God by mingling prayer with the Word. Amen. Which today we call prayer reading, but I have to be very, very careful in saying that. Because I am somewhat concerned today, prayer reading is degraded. I'll just put it that way. It is made light and superficial. We are not prayer reading as we should. Prayer reading has become a popular practice in the Lord's recovery, and thank God for that. But I challenge you this morning. I challenge you this morning, brothers and sisters, to know how to pray the Word of God, or to absorb or eat the Word of God by prayer in a new way, in a deeper way, in a way that you may not know. Now, this book right here has some, he has from here and here, here and there, some quotes by these ones, starting with the Bible. Starting with the Bible, how in the Bible the saints pray read in the Old Testament and the New. Without that word pray read, they were really pray reading. Pray reading is not a form. No, it's not. Pray reading is a unique way for us to eat God, to enjoy God, and to assimilate God. Amen. Okay, so you have this. I won't go into the New Testament. I won't even go get into the early church there. I'll just pick a few here. This is who? This is Martin Luther. He spent a part of almost every day reading the Psalms, with which he mingled his own supplications amid tears and groans. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
It's Martin Luther. You would think that he has this huge, big library, which we did. You know, if today you go to Germany, his library is still there. He's a great student of the Bible, but that's what he did on a daily basis, reading the Psalms and mingling the reading with his supplications. That's prayer. Amid tears and groans. John Calvin, the Word of God is the only sure foundation for prayer. I believe this. Actually, the top prayer, brothers and sisters, is with the Word of God. When we pray with the Word digested by us, I tell you, that is the top prayer. There's no prayer higher than that prayer. Okay, let me read a few more. This is who? This is August. This is in the, you know, in church history, one of the Puritans, Herman Franke. It is also, this is describing him, it is also, his words, it is also reasonable that the reading of the Holy Scripture be done with all prayer and groaning. Here is John Wesley. Read a little, that's the Bible. Read a little, pray and meditate much. George Whitefield, the great evangelist, and I remember Brother Lee talking to us about this. My usual practice of reading and praying over the Word of God upon my knees. George Whitefield. He's on his knees, reading and praying over the Word of God. And we all know how powerful his preaching was. There's one missionary called David Brainerd, right? The very language, these are just quotes, so some are clauses, not whole sentences. The very language which my soul uttered to God. That's the Bible. His soul uttered to God the words of the Bible. Henry Martin, by daily weighing the scriptures with prayer. There are many others here. Andrew Murray, if we only took God's word as from himself, turning it into prayer. Hannah Whitall Smith, the very one famous one who wrote this famous book, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, okay? One of the Inner Life sisters. She said this. This is how I would do when I read Psalm 23. This is her words, teaching us. Then say the words over to yourself with all the willpower you can muster. The Lord is my shepherd. He is. No matter what I feel, he says he is, and he is, and I'm going to believe it, come what it may. Then repeat the words with a different emphasis each time. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
It's right here. It's right here. John Nelson Darby. Study the Bible, dear brother, with prayer. These are evangelicals. Edward Bickersteff, turn passages of Scripture into prayer. Robert Murray McShane from England, turn the Bible into prayer. Brooke Westcott, their prayer is only some fragment of his teaching, transformed into a supplication. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Spurgeon, as you quarry, that means dig, God's word, and use diligently the hammer of prayer. Dig the word with prayer. It's very much like Brother Lee saying, strike the word with your spirit. E.M. Bounds, famous on the ministry of prayer. The Word of God is the food by which prayer is nourished and made strong. D.L. Moody, I do not know any better prayer than we can make than this prayer of David in the Bible. Arthur Pearson, I believe he wrote one of the biographies. I don't remember now. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, he says, the Holy Scriptures will thus suggest the very words which become the dialect of prayer. W.H. Griffith Thomas, God's Word is the fuel for our prayer. Well, I think that's plenty. Go get this book and read up on it. Now, today, I'd like to say something about pray reading. Not in the way you think. The pray reading that we're used to now is, in the beginning, amen. What's the word, amen? You know what I mean? That's our prayer reading. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about prayer reading. In John chapter 6:63, the Lord says, the flesh profits nothing, but the words, rhema, this word is not logos, but rhema. The words, the instant words that I speak to you, They are spirit, and they are life. We know that the spirit is nothing other than the pneumatic Christ. Am I right? And life clearly is as he said himself, I am the life. Showing that it is just this living person. Here he says that what? The words that I speak to you, these words, they are spirit and they are life, which means he's saying they are me and they are me. Me as spirit and me as life. I tell you today, all the gifts that the God has given to us, I tell you, it is in the form of the Spirit and it as life. The blessing of the gospel given to Abraham is the Spirit. And in him is life. In this word is life, in John 1:3. Which word became flesh? Full of grace and reality for us to possess. And this word is life. Even the word of life. Brothers and sisters, what's the point? The point here is what? The words that the Lord speak are just these things. The way for us to enjoy this pneumatic one and this living one is by the words that he speaks. Then in John 15, he says, abide in me. Remain in me, and my words will abide in you, will remain in you. Here we are beginning to see a way to enjoy, to partake of these wonderful words, rhema words. It is by our abiding in him, remaining in him. And by remaining in him, his words will remain in us. Now, I would just use this two verses. There are many, many words. And this morning, I'm not here to give you a technical definition of prayer reading, although some of us need that education, how the Word is the Spirit and the Spirit is the Word, and both are Christ. Am I right? Yeah. And by this, for just seeing this, realizing this, you will know that the way for us to apprehend Christ, to partake of Christ, to enjoy this Christ, is by taking the Word and the Spirit. But not separately, not as separate entities, but somehow by a way that these two can be mingled, can be mixed, can be brought together. And the secret of bringing the Word and the Spirit, or may I say, the Word Christ and the Spirit Christ, or the Spirit Word or the Word Spirit together, is by only one way. And that way is the exercise of your spirit to pray. To pray. So in Ephesians 6, it says, By means of all prayer, we take or receive the word. Which word? The antecedent, which refers to the word, is the Spirit. Is the Spirit. So, in a very, very simple way today, because I don't have the time, I just want to impress on you, there is virtually no other way, or I should say the top way, for us to really absorb God, to really assimilate Christ, to really enjoy this triune God. The top way is by mingling the Spirit and the Word by means of all prayer. All prayer. Which includes calling as a form of prayer, which includes crying out as a form of prayer, which includes groaning yet as another form of prayer, which includes supplicating as another kind of prayer, which includes petitioning as another kind of prayer, by means of and thanksgiving yet as another form of prayer, and I would even say praising as another form of prayer, by means of all prayer. Amen. Receive this word. Amen. Take this word. Take this word. And brothers and sisters, learn to do this with the Lord. Amen. Now we do this in the church. That's not the subject today. My subject is you with the Lord. How have you been handling the Word of God in your personal time with the Lord? That determines the level of assimilation and absorption on our part, and the level or the degree of infusion and transfusion on God's side. I'm a little concerned, and these years we have Holy Word for morning revival has become prevailing standard, you know, staple among us, and I thank God for this, and don't for a moment misunderstand me. We just get this Holy Word for morning revival. But I am concerned many of us don't know how to pray read. So our morning revival has degenerated into a kind of religious form or daily duty of a good brother. Yet it is without substance. Without the spiritual substance there. So what you do, you just open this. Your eyes look firstly at those two or three verses in the top box. And you mumble a few things and say amen. And quickly you want to get to the gray box. And you scan the gray box. You begin to get some understanding. Well, time is still not up yet. You go to the white part, which is the rest of the two pages, and read through it. And you close the book, and you had your morning revival. I like to tell you, I dare not say that is not morning revival, but I have a deep question whether you have been revived at all. You probably have received a measure of apprehension. That I would give it to you. You have received maybe even some light. You open the ministry, it always gives light. But getting light is one thing. Receiving life is a different thing. I would like to say, according to the order in John 1, verse 3, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life comes before light. that when light, life is there, light will shine. In fact, Christ is called the light of life. That if we take it the other way, we come in from the light side first, there's always a light side first, there's always a danger. That you are merely getting some mental apprehension of the word, which is good. You're not reading some bad magazines, which is good, but you have not touched life yet. I am talking about in your spirit receiving that food, which is the tree of life, through the proper and deeper praying of the word. And by that receiving of that word becomes, that logos coming into us by means of prayer becomes rhema, and that rhema is spirit and life. Spirit and life. And that spirit of and life will give forth a kind of light to you. That's what I'm talking about. So may I even suggest all of you renew your practice of prayer reading. Maybe this will revolutionize your morning time, making it a true and genuine revival. Rather than nodding your head and reading a few things, uttering some extremely weak amens and proceeding to read the rest and thought you got it. Your daily life does not reflect any revival at all. There's still no strength in your daily life that day. There's no power there. There's no energy there. You just got some good thoughts that you thought you can talk to each other about, and that's it. No, no. Don't think I'm here not for the ministry. I think I'm for the ministry more than you. In fact, I would like to just here pause for 30 seconds and do a commercial. And the commercial is this. Go to the winter summer training. The brothers told me that last summer, 225 signed up. To this day, still, only 205 has signed up. I don't know who the other 20 are. I don't care to know. But I like to see the church in Irvine. There is a culture, strong culture, never missing these biannual trainings. And as much as possible, going there live. And now it's building 8. It's a lot better than building 5. I mean the quality of experience. And if you really cannot, then go to the webcast. But go, brothers and sisters. Go. Put everything on hold. Go to hear the word of God. It will only do you good. It will never, never hurt you. Even you think you got nothing, you got something. Trust me. Okay, commercial over, huh? Today is, actually we passed deadline already. But if you want to go, you can still sign up. Hurry. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Okay, all right. Now, back to this sharing. I like to suggest in the morning, you come to the Lord first. Not even just, boom, open the Holy Word. Come to the Lord first. Oh, the way we talked about this weekend. Sing a short stanza of a hymn to the Lord. Empty yourself. Open to Him. You are not coming to a book called HWMR. You are coming to the person and the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every time, in fact, when you open the Bible, you have to have the feeling you are coming to God's face.
Amen.
He is going to breathe out every word out of the mouth of God, and you are going to what? Eat and ingest those every word. It's a mouth-to-mouth. It's a kissing time. It's a kissing time where the word is transferred from God's mouth into your mouth. And you're not just reading some knowledge, reading some getting some information. You are coming to absorb God.
Amen.
The word is just the means. The living means. You search the scriptures, the Lord said, but you won't come to me. After a while, the Bible and Christ can become two in our experience. And it should never become two. The Bible, the Word, should be Christ to us.
Amen.
The Word of God should be the living person of Jesus to us.
Amen.
You are not coming to read something, you are coming to contact a person.
Amen.
And there's a big difference. A big difference. So come.
Amen.
In this way, with a whole intention to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Not to do a morning revival. I hope to get rid of that sentence from the recovery. Nobody does morning revival anymore. Everyone contact God.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Brother, not did you do your morning revival this morning? I would say, brother, did you eat God this morning?
Amen.
That's what I want to know.
Amen.
That's what is important. Did you receive life? Were you quickened this morning? I don't care if you got more knowledge. I care that you saw His face. Okay. Now, you come to the top there. You open to the Holy Word. There are three verses, four verses. Let me tell you, I can never finish prayer reading three or four verses. I can usually can't even finish one. That's how slow I am. Maybe I am mentally challenged. Actually, to tell you the truth, I usually cannot finish one verse. In most cases, I leave with a phrase. And I would just dive into that one phrase. And I milk it. I pray it. I toss it. You know what I mean? I do all kinds of things with it. Until that word is no longer just... until that word becomes a living spirit and life to me. I tell you, that I pray read becomes a sword to me during the day. Becomes food to me.
Amen.
That I can regurgitate,
Amen.
Masticate, chew the cud,
Amen.
And supply me. I study the word, but I study it at another time. Morning revival is not time to study the word of God. It is time to ingest God.
Amen.
To digest God.
Amen.
To assimilate God into your spiritual being. That's what we need to do. Read the gray box another time after you're done with this. Read the white part at lunch. But this time is too precious. These are moments that you are there, lost in His Word, lost in His dear self, just drinking it in. You are just there. I mean, this song's 8:11, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, eating what? Reading what? By praying and whatever. Well, this is one of Brother Lee's top songs. You brothers and sisters, learn to do this. I like to see all of us have a quality morning revival. Even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's quality infusion. And you must learn how to pray, read in this way. And that sister that I just talked to you about, the Lord is my shepherd, I tell you, she's getting it. She is definitely getting it.
Amen.
So, I told the trainees, all you know is what I call prayer reading 101. That's just blah, 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 amen, blah, 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 amen. That's prayer reading 101. You need to go to prayer reading 102, and then 103, and then 104. Now, I won't get into all of that, which I talked to them about, but I will just tell you, don't just pray read what I call do a repetitive pray reading and say amen. That's not bad. That's not enough. Go forward to what this Sister Smith does, which is still only 102, I consider, is what I call emphatic pray reading. Not repetitive, but emphatic. That means the Lord is my shepherd. Now, when you pray read that way, you start eating that word Lord.
Amen.
You're not just amen, amen, and move on. You are staying here. You are starting to chew that word Lord until that Lord becomes spirit and life to you.
Amen.
It may not be that much truth and meaning, but it becomes spirit and life.
Amen.
In our translation, Jehovah is my shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, Jehovah.
Amen.
Jehovah is my shepherd.
Amen.
I tell you, after a while, Jehovah becomes life and spirit in your being.
Amen.
That's the transfusion of the divine life and the divine spirit into you. Is.
Amen.
I tell you, you can spend 5 minutes on is. Jehovah is. Oh, is. I tell you, many times when I pray with this way, tears just flows down my eyes. Not tears of sadness, but tears of inspiration, tears of happiness, tears of ecstasy, because I am there actually eating Jehovah. I'm not just reading his name, Jehovah. I'm actually ingesting him.
Amen.
I'm actually eating him.
Amen.
I'm actually getting him into me.
Amen.
What happiness.
Amen.
What ecstasy. What rapture. Tears just flows down. Do you have this experience? Now, then you have to go on. My. Right? To further, right? Not just emphasizing there, here, in just strictly with those words. Now I come to what I call digestive prayer reading. Digestive prayer reading is not just praying with the straight words that are in front of you, but you begin. I do not want to use the word interpret, but I would like to use the word you begin to develop with the help of those words, and beginning to turn that into your prayer. So, for example, Jehovah is my shepherd. Besides repeating it and besides emphasizing it, now I digest it by saying, O Lord, you are Jehovah. That's not strictly in the word there, am I right? But now I am developing it. I am mingling it with some aspiration, some prayer. Lord, you are my shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, you are.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you really are.
Amen.
I have no shepherd.
Amen.
I am a lost sheep. But you are my shepherd.
Amen.
You came.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Do you see what I'm doing now? I am using some of my utterance to hammer this word, to break this word down so that I can suck and I can milk all the nutrients in the bone marrows even. It's like eating a piece of steak. You just don't chomp on it, you know? You cut it in pieces, then you chew, chew. This is a kind of a chewing prayer reading. I tell you, 104, prayer reading, 104. You say, what is 104? I tell you, 104 is, I tell you, you lift up your eyes. You're not even looking at the word. And you are not just expressing some sentiment, as I did, to digest this word, to break down this word by chewing. Now, actually, I am praying. Actually, I am praying. Now my prayer is not my intention, my feeling, my thoughts. It is the God-infused prayer. It is the word that has been abiding in me. Now I ask. You believe me. That asking is filled with the word of God and filled with the thought conveyed in the word of God, which is God's thought. Lord, you are my shepherd. Lord, I pray for the church. Shepherd the church.
Amen.
Shepherd every saint.
Amen.
Shepherd my brother.
Amen.
As Jehovah.
Amen.
Shepherd my sister. You know what I'm doing? I am prayer reading right now.
Amen.
This is the, I would say, the deepest prayer reading. Now, saints, I have no time even for these 12 words. It's okay. It's okay. Do you get what I'm saying?
Amen.
I like all of us, and I don't mean you should copy me to do exactly what I do. No, the Lord is living. But in principle, I feel we're at a crisis point.
Amen.
In our personal practice. How about go and enjoy the Lord in this way every day.
Amen.
Even 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I hope longer. And if not in the morning, some other time, you would find what? You would find moments to pray the word.
Amen.
To pray the word. Sometimes you just open the Bible, sit there or kneel there, not to study. No concordance, you know, no nothing. You are just there, not even for knowledge. No, you are just there to eat God.
Amen.
To just eat God.
Amen.
You just eat Him. After you're done, you didn't get more truth, but you got more life. There's a time for the truth, don't take me wrong. But my burden is for life and spirit.
Amen.
Only that will effect
Amen.
In victory,
Amen.
In holiness,
Amen.
In power,
Amen.
In vitality,
Amen.
In love.
Amen.
Only that will cause you to love your wife.
Amen.
Only that will cause you to be a proper parent. Only that will cause you to be a proper brother or sister, to cause you to be a proper functioning member in the body of Christ. All the goodness of the body life, of the church life, of the Christian life, of the gospel life emanates from such an inner absorption and assimilation of Christ Himself. You've got to spend this kind of time. And don't say, I am not the kind that know how to do this. No, we all have the God genes within us. We all have the capacity and ability to do this. What you need to do, and sisters, is to find that time. You've got to find that time. I really think we need to stand up against the enemy.
Amen.
And proclaim war.
Amen.
Proclaim war.
Amen.
That's the crisis. What crisis is what I've been talking about this weekend, the internet. These time-consuming things that are just robbing our time for needless things, needless news. How much do you need to know about Prince William? Really? But you can spend half an hour indulged in studying, and that half hour you can be absorbing God.
Amen.
No wonder there is so little growth in your life. No wonder the church is weak. It's not true that we don't have time. It's the time robbed. It's eaten by locusts. Jehovah, restore to the church the years that the locusts have eaten up. Restore to me. I'm going to put aside these things. I'm going to turn it off. Not only when you get on the plane, you know, turn off your whatever. Turn it off. Turn it off. Nothing is that urgent. Nothing is that important than your time with the King.
Amen.
The time with the Lord. The time with God. Fight for this. Declare war against these things. I still feel we should practice, the church, a digital Sabbath every week. One day, the whole church agree, I won't call you, you won't call me, unless it's emergency. We don't need this. This whole day, the best thing is the Lord's Day. Lord's Day is not digital day. Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. Can we give the Lord a day without resorting to your friend in Facebook? Is your friend that important, or God, who should be your real friend? I'm not imposing anything. I am not here regulating anything at all, brothers and sisters. No. But you can perceive there's a very heavy burden within me. Very heavy burden. That we would, after this weekend, all begin to cultivate this personal life with the Lord that even your spouse don't know. It's too private. It's too deep. It's too intimate. And when we are all pursuing the Lord like this, you just watch. There will be a revival starting with each one of us on a daily way, and the Lord will do His building work among us. What can we do with these words? Can you at least allow me to read it without expounding, because we all need to break now, right? Let me just read it. You read it. How about that? All right? Number one?
Call.
Number two?
Throne.
Number three?
Cry.
Number four?
Treasure.
Number five?
Taste.
Number six?
Nourish.
Number seven?
Masticate.
Number eight?
Digest.
Number nine?
Meditate.
Number ten?
Use.
Number 11?
Learn.
Number 12?
Keep.
You know this word, keep.
Amen.
You know Mary say, he heard the angel spoke, and he kept those words in her heart.
Amen.
Oh, store up
Amen.
The word of God
Amen.
In this way.
Amen.
So I will just stop here, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I think we just have a little prayer. How about
Amen.
That, huh? Just some prayer side by side about this matter. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this weekend it's been likened to having a coach show us the way and direct us on how, as we found out this morning, how to run this race. This race is not a sprint. This race is a marathon, ultra marathon, that'll take years to run if we don't have the proper coaching. And if we're not brought step by step, crisis by crisis, we would never finish this race. But this weekend we took another step.
Amen.
An important step.
Amen.
And particularly regarding the Word and how the Word will enrich our fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
How the Word is not pray reading, particularly, is not a form, but a way to be infused
Amen.
With Christ Amen. As Spirit and life.
Amen.
Let's allow this Word to operate within us, Amen. To upgrade, to uplift our times with the Lord.
Amen.
And let's spend the next weeks, next years,
Amen.
Practicing,
Amen.
Building up that endurance,
Amen.
So that we won't have an experience of Christ that is narrow, but broad.
Amen.
Not a Christ that is, experience of Christ that is short-lived, short in duration, no staying power, but we would have the length of Christ.
Amen.
And not something that is low, but something that is even at the heights.
Amen.
And finally, something that is not, you know, we need to be brought beyond just the surface. We just barely scratch the surface. That's our culture. But we need to be those who would go deep.
Amen.
To have the depths of Christ.
Amen.
The Word plays such a critical role in being able to give us those dimensions of Christ.
Amen.
May we apprehend, grasp intensely
Amen.
This kind of experience.
Amen.
Okay, we got a few announcements. Just wanted to point out, I know a number of the saints, a great many of us, have parked in behind the meeting hall on the street, Deerwood. And I know it's quite tempting to just kind of hop the retainer wall just to kind of go down. It actually saves you 5 to 10 minutes of walk. But, you know, one of the themes behind this weekend is, why are we in such a rush? Let's take some time
Amen.
Just to behold him.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So an extra 5 to 10 minutes.
Amen.
Of just beholding the Lord, Amen. Gazing on Him.
Amen.
Take a walk with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this ultra marathon, we run, yes, but sometimes we're allowed to walk. Even the Ironman, some people walk, right? So we just walk. Take a walk, 5 to 10 minutes more. I've almost forgotten the point, but to the signal light. And come around all the way to the street, okay? So let's not cross the planters. It'll save the plants and also the testimony, preserve our testimony before before our neighbors. And then we have a few other announcements. Today is the last day, really. Actually, last week was the deadline, but today is the day that LSM basically turns off the computer, so we won't have any access anymore to get anyone in. So if you are not signed up for the summer training, as our brother has shared, please sign up today. You need to go, actually, to Edward Wang right here. He's the only door. He's the back door into the training. So go to him. See him right now after the meeting. Make sure you get in. The second thing is... today is also the last day for those who may have brought something for the Irvine Scent trainees. We every term we send them a care package from the church, and even all these care packages are individualized, personalized for the trainees. If you've brought them, please, who is collecting? Is it Mickey? Who's collecting? Okay, Mickey, bring your items to Mickey, and she'll make sure that they're included in the care package. And then the last thing is this Tuesday, second to last thing, this Tuesday, the prayer meeting, instead of at 7:30, the normal time, what we'll do is come together at 7 o'clock. We've come together before at 7 o'clock, so it shouldn't be too much of a stretch. But come at 7 o'clock. We'll pray from 7 to 7:30. And then we'll cover, hopefully, another 12 words. Anyways, 12 words from 7:30 to 8:30, right? Oh, to 9, 7:30 to 9. So this Tuesday would be the session 5 of this local conference. And then the last thing that we need to announce is those ushers, would you please remain behind to help rearrange the chair for the hall, okay? So, okay, and then we have some hall-specific announcements.
For Hall 3 Sense, this coming weekend, there will be a work on the parking lot in front of a Hall 3 building. So on the Lord's Day, the parking lot may be reopened. But anyway, the point here is, if you find next Lord's Day, when you drive to the parking lot in Hall 3, and our area is closed, do not go home. Park in the nearby spaces. There are other parking areas in the park is available. So park there and then walk to the paved way to the Hall 3 building, okay?
There's an announcement specifically for Hall 2. As you know, May 15th, which is 2 weeks from now, we will have a slightly different schedule. We're going to have a hall picnic. And so that we'll have the Lord's table, but we will probably dismiss early. And so these next 2 weeks, there will be a lot of coordination concerning what to bring and so just be aware of that. We'll be sending out some communications, but please mark your calendars. May 15th, we've confirmed the spot. Okay, so let's be dismissed. Amen.